Veal 6.
So he sent me to Pittman's, which was there, definitely him. So before the photographic art school started, that summer term, I was sent to Pittman's, shorthand and typing and spelling, made a world of good. So I was with my own age group, and when I went to the art school, we decided, actually I think Common Shoe, it was him, that photography would be a good idea because it was physics and chemistry and art. No, I never taken a photograph in my life. I think we had a box camera, my stepfather had a box camera, and I was absolutely idea. I had no idea that I was any good at drawing. I never showed any particular talent in drawing. I did my little houses with the sunshines and the trees. And so there, lo and behold, I found myself age 18 with my age group going to art school, which I did in 2 years. Went to art school for 2 years. It was the last 2 years of a 3-year course. And then did 1 year freelance photography, couldn't get a job in photography. And then sort of retired into pregnancy without too much loss of faith. So we had our eldest son when we had been married for 4 years. And then again my husband said, look, we are married, but until we have children, if we don't get on or we decide to split, it's absolutely fine. But when we decide to have a child, that is really for keeps. So that was very much him. But I mean, not such a long time ago, I said to somebody, oh, I, you know, the fact that both my husband and I are Jewish are such a strong link between us because he comes from a very different type of family, much more emancipated than mine, much more highly educated. I mean, light years away, because Germany was a different world from Poland. His father was actually older than my maternal grandfather by something like 2 years. So we jumped the whole generation because his mother was so much younger than his father, and my parents were quite young. And his father was a banker, and my grandfather, as I told you, was an artisan. But that wasn't such a big difference. The big difference was that my grandfather apparently wouldn't want pictures to be taken of him because he said that had something to do with magic, and that obviously is against religion. Which is, you know, the drive away from that banker, and the grandfather was actually head of the community in Stuttgart, and that really is light years away.
Yes, with your art, you know, you are, yes.
He encouraged me, so that was, once we had the children, as far as he was concerned, that was it. So I still think that I married somebody nearer to my own age group who was not 12 years older. I also think the chances of our marriage surviving would have been more or less nil. The fact that he had to invest so much. The one family he had was the one which was his own new nucleus family. His own relatives were much more distant than to himself than, let's say, if he had been a Jewish-Polish family. He had an uncle and an aunt and cousin who also had tough times. You know, they came here just before the war, and life was difficult. But besides life being difficult for them, they were not attuned that there was a boy living in a room by himself. And actually, when he left school, boarding school, he was actually going hungry before he was deported to Australia as an enemy alien. I mean, he didn't have enough to eat.
What was the name of the ship that he was deported on?
The Dunera. He was on the Dunera, and that he talks very little about. I mean, one knows that the times on the boat were pretty harrowing, but he would talk about the army. He was very proud that he is the only one amongst I think 100 people, whatever 100 people formed as a group. I think that he was the only one who was not shell shocked, not wounded, and came through it without having been made a prisoner of war. But then when he was, he could have gone to university because he must have been a very good student. In 3 years, from age of 13 to 16, he managed to get matriculation with enough honors not to be able to go to university without an entrance exam. So when he came through war, the army would have paid him a university place. But he was offered a job by a family, which was sort of an international family firm. and he accepted that. The children now were sort of, oh, how different his life would have been had he gone to university. Maybe he would have met a student he would have married, like a friend of his did. And it took us till years later, speaking to this friend of his who did go to university, saying, oh, how different Dennis's life would have been had he gone to university instead of to business. He said, you mean after being in Australia and in the army, any of us would have been offered a job, do you think we would have gone to university? You know, that is a completely different way of viewing it. We thought you were so lucky. So, you know, he's done very well. He's thinking of retiring next year, but I think he'll only semi-retire, which I hope he'll only semi-retire. So it's a happy ending, 4 grandchildren later.
Your art, do you find, are you conscious at all with your designs that the war comes into it, your experience? Has it ever had an influence, do you think?
I don't know. My husband would say, look at mothers behind bars. Everything she does is bars. So I seem to have gone very much for bars, but I mean, that's very difficult. I mean, I'm very physical type of person. I did do painting, and that I found actually an enormous help. By going to classes and putting a lot of emotional content into the painting. So maybe that was a help at the time. I made some sort of autobiographical paintings.
You were saying earlier also, Leah, that you began to hear of the reality of what had happened and what could have happened to you and your mother. When did you know? I wonder how it affected you when you knew the full reality of what the Jews in Poland had gone through, you know, what had happened to those children in the ghetto, for instance, or indeed the Jews in the Warsaw, Krakow ghetto. How did it, you know, did it affect you at all, those years later?
Well, I mean, yes, as I've grown older, it's affecting me more and more, because it's this idea of having a whole community. Yes, as years have gone by, even the unreality, I can say, of what's happened seems to be absolutely incredible. That you know, I still go on feeling not too elderly, I'm middle aged to old, being an older woman, and that all of this has happened to me as a child belongs something much more to the Middle Ages. It just seems absolutely incredible, and I do find it very difficult to reconcile meeting up with Germans. I meet up much more with German people being, we go skiing regularly in Switzerland, we would meet up. And if I meet up a German person, and I do speak some German, I will always speak about the war. I mean, I have this sort of, this incredible necessity to talk about it, and somehow I feel that at least their name should be mentioned. I mean, there's no cemetery to be able to go and pray. There's no place to pay one's homage. I do want to go back to Poland. I've been to the Soviet Union because at the time, planning to go to the Soviet Union, I didn't have the courage to go to Poland, because a lot of the Poland, let's say Krakow, was not destroyed, but the people are missing. So I do want to go, and I'm actually sort of on the lookout of, there are small groups of people who go really exactly for that, to pay one's homage, to visit places of Jewish population, cemeteries, synagogues, and obviously I in no way do I want to go as a tourist. But I did go to the Soviet Union. Soviet Union I found very interesting, because having lived in France for I think altogether 7 years, and being so much of a foreigner in England, even so I've been here all my adult years, you know, it was a question, oh, mother is French, I'm French, the children went to French school. I'm not French at all. I mean, none of my temperament is a Latin temperament. So going to the Soviet Union, I realized to what extent I am very Eastern European. I sort of, you know, they're laughing one moment, maybe crying the next, which is very Slav. And after all, the Jews, having lived in Eastern Europe, did take on the characteristics of the Slav people. And the Soviet Union was incredible, because I met up literally in the street Soviet Jews who at the time were refuseniks. And so it opened a whole world. And this question of also, which I really went to look for. I went to look a little bit to my own roots and felt if I go to Eastern Europe, it doesn't necessarily have to be Poland. It can be the Soviet Union. So in the family, the other thing is saying, my husband would say to the children, I don't know about mother. She was always French. Now people ask her, where does she come from? She said, Poland. Where does this Poland come from? Then being him being German, never mind a German Jew, they had such a low opinion of the Poles. It's incredible. I mean, we have a saying in the family, I would go put myself on tiptoe and sort of stretch myself my full height and then look down, and I would say that Dennis would speak about the Poles by saying Polak, you know, from his whole height, looking down and saying Polak. But I mean, one jokes about it, but the reality of it was much stronger nearer the end of the war than it is now. Now it just makes no sense. What difference does it make? Even the elderly German Jews, but one knows in England, there's no question that they will look down upon me because I'm Pole. It's interesting that it's completely irrelevant now, which wasn't at one time.
I know time is short, but there's, you know, just one last issue I'd like you to talk about, and that is your meeting up with other children of the Holocaust. Could you tell me about this?
Yes. So they meet, the group I've met and become friendly with meet in the States, and they call themselves child Holocaust survivors. And I met them twice, but they met four times. So it also is, it's amazing how they had to wait till they were middle-aged to elderly like myself to start meeting up. And I think it's because they had their children, they had their careers, and when they're sort of on the threshold of retirement, the sort of pastor visits them and they really want to meet up with others. And so there's a small group meeting in England as well, but I seem to have sort of met the American group whom I've befriended. They also had a conference called The Hidden Child. The people who were hidden during the war felt very strongly that they were a group slightly apart, which they are. I did not go to this particular one. So the child Holocaust survivor will also obviously include the ones who were hidden. Now, most of my own age group only survived because they were hidden. We were too young to survive concentration camp. Or it's very, very small amount who are maybe used, I don't know, maybe you read about them, children who were sort of adopted by the Nazi camp commandants as sort of like pets. But there were very, very few. Now, the people generally who were hidden during the war felt a little bit over the years a second-class citizen, because the ones who went through camp had nearly like a badge of honor. You know, the Auschwitz tattooing on my, they went through really through hell, while the ones who were on so-called alien papers had it so much easier. And I've heard also the reaction of people, how did you survive that? The alien papers, you know, this was really nothing. But if you think about it, the people who were surviving the alien papers always had the threat of being actually arrested. Once you were arrested, you survived as well as you could. But you had always this thing hanging over you that you could be incarcerated. But I do have these girlfriends, and I mean, together we feel we could have gone to school together, but we never did. But we feel towards one another now, as if maybe one day, or maybe in some sort of previous life, we were school friends. It's quite strange to actually grow up without any school friends, really, and childhood friends. So you adopt them instead.
It seems important for you, you know, to know this group. Am I right in thinking?
Oh, yes. Very, very, very much so. And I happen to be in New York and invite them in Sunday lunch, and they all sort of trooped along. They're just that particular Manhattan group, consisting, I think, of eight women, out of which six I met over the two conferences. But I could also take it only to begin with in fairly small dosages, because we had workshops. Some of them belonged to a group where they meet once a month, and for me this was also quite new. So I really could only expose myself slowly to it, because I just literally basically couldn't take it. We had an art therapy class, which was actually quite extraordinary. Even I'm an artist. This art therapist, who was a child Holocaust survivor herself, made us draw, and it were actually incredible things happened. So, you know, how much of one's feelings are still sort of buried and comes out, because we're in a group, I suppose none of us painting individually would have had the same sense of release, but doing it as a group, in a particular atmosphere. I did the one with me in the hole, and the one with the father, with the child coming and joining him, and then there was a little exhibition that art therapist gave, and anybody passing by sort of dragged them, saying, "Could you come and have a look at my toy?" You know, like a child, and you know, things like that happening was, and then we had a song workshop where people were singing, and the crying. I mean, you just can't imagine, but also crying in a very liberating. And they're all sort of seemingly fairly young, you know, and always things with the Holocaust survivors being all elderly, and there you know that you have a group of people. Now, some of them did fantastically well. I mean, that also my complexes. One man told me how he missed 8 years of schooling only, and he's a university professor, having gone to school with three different countries, three different languages. So some people are just born brilliant.
And could I just ask about your father? Have you ever found out what happened to him?
No, I never found out, but I'm going to Israel for this, my third meeting with this child Holocaust survivor. So I really promised myself that this time I will go and fill in the forms at the Yad Vashem and really look for archives. Because even the Yad Vashem, they said, come on, don't you want to know, you know, what really, at least try to find out what happened to your father. Mm. I think that my mother always had maybe some sort of fantasy that my father had some amnesia and is living somewhere in Russia, and, you know, that maybe he's still alive somewhere, even so she married again.
Do you often think of him?
Well, I used to think of him much more, and I always thought that I'll marry a man who also was from Polish-Jewish origin. In fact, I married somebody much more like my stepfather than I would have ever believed, which is sort of quite ironic.
Well, Leah, thank you very much indeed. This has been longer than 2 hours, I'm afraid.
Well, thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.